Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo
Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 3, Pure Devotional Service, Change in the Heart. Text number 25, last text for the chapter. Ata. Abhidehi.
Abhidehi.
Anga.
Anga.
Manaha.
Manaha.
Anukulam.
Anukulam.
Upashase,
Bhagavata,
Dhana, Yataha, Vyasakaha, Atmavija, Visharadha, Rupatim, Saru, Krishna, Atavipet, Yanga Mano Nukulam. Prabhashase Bhagavata Pradhana
Prabhashase Bhagavata Pradhana
Yadaha Vayasaki Atmavidya
Yadaha Vayasaki Atmavidya
Visharado Nripatim Sadhu Krishna
Visharado Nripatim Sadhu Krishna
Atavidhed Yangamano Nukulam Prabhashase Bhagavata Pradhana
Prabhashase Bhagavata
Pradhana Yadahavaya Sukhi Atmavidya
Yadahavaya Sukhi Atmavidya
Visharado Nripatim Sadhu Krishna
Visharado Nripatim Sadhu Krishna
Atavidhe Hyanga Mano Nukulam
Atavidhe Hyanga Mano Nukulam
Prabhashase Bhagavata Pradhana Yadahavaya Sukhi Atmavidya
Yadahavaya Sukhi Atmavidya
Visharado Nripatim Sadhu Krishna
Visharado Nripatim Sadhu Krishna
Atta
Therefore
Abhidehi.
Abhidehi.
Please explain. Anga.
Anga.
O Suta Goswami.
O Suta Goswami.
Manaha.
Manaha.
Mine.
Mine.
Anukulam.
Anukulam.
Favorable to our mentality.
Favorable to our mentality.
Prabhashase.
Prabhashase.
You do speak.
You do speak.
Bhagavata.
Bhagavata.
The great devotee.
The great devotee.
Pradhana.
Pradhana.
The chief.
The chief.
Yataha.
Yataha.
What he spoke.
What he spoke.
Vayasaki.
Vayasaki.
Shukadeva Goswami.
Shukadeva Goswami.
Atmavidya.
Atmavidya.
Transcendental knowledge.
Transcendental knowledge.
Visharadha.
Visharadha.
Expert.
Expert.
Ripatim.
Ripatim.
Unto the king.
Unto the king.
Sadhu.
Sadhu.
Very good.
Very good.
Krishna.
Krishna.
Being asked.
Being asked.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. O Suta Goswami, your words are pleasing to our minds. Please therefore explain this to us as it was spoken by the great devotee Shukadev Goswami, who is very expert in transcendental knowledge, and who spoke to Maharaj Parikshit upon being asked. Translation responsively.
O Suta Goswami,
your words are pleasing to our minds.
Your words are pleasing to our minds.
Please therefore explain this to us.
Please therefore explain this to us.
As it was spoken by the great devotee.
As it was spoken by the great devotee.
Shukadev Goswami.
Shukadev Goswami.
Who is very expert in transcendental knowledge.
Who is very expert in transcendental knowledge.
And who spoke to Maharaj Parikshit.
And who spoke to Maharaj Parikshit.
Upon being asked.
Upon being asked.
Purpose. Knowledge explained by the previous acharya like Srila Shukadeva Goswami and followed by the next like Suta Goswami is always powerful transcendental knowledge and it is therefore penetrating and useful to all submissive students. us in the Bhaktivedanta purport of the second canto, third chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Pure Devotional Service, the Changing Heart. So just at the end of the series of verses by Dwarka Rishi, who wants to hear more from Suta Goswami about what was spoken on the bank of the Ganges between Shukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit. So this is the nature of advanced devotees. They always want to hear more, and so they, you know, at the conclusion of some narration, they'll inquire further. So in this verse, we're hearing about the, I guess, the qualification of for hearing, and both actually, for the hearer and the speaker. In ISKCON, we're fortunate enough that we don't have to worry too much about the qualification for the speaker, because we have Srila Prabhupada. And anything, of course, Srila Prabhupada is the most qualified devotee, pure devotee of the Lord, even being in a mood of conjugal relationship with Krishna. So as long as we're hearing from Srila Prabhupada and his followers, then we can be sure that the qualification of the speaker is adequate, or, you know, very high level. So mostly we have to be concerned about our own qualification for hearing. Prabhupada says that if the master is learned, but the speaker is, or the student is foolish, then that learning, that kind of learning won't be effective. So there's a verse from Canto 3 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Satam prasangam mama virya samvido. And that's the first line. And then this verse is also quoted twice in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in Adilila and also in Majjalila. So Prabhupada is describing about this word virya, and in the Bhagavatam it's just translated as wonderful activities. But in Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is what Prabhupada is referring to in that translation that he's given, he describes it as virya as or virya samvida, talks full of spiritual potency. You know, same kind of thing, but more stressing on that the pastimes of the Lord and his devotees have a lot of spiritual potency. And so for bhakti yogis, we want to know how to access that spiritual potency for our spiritual benefit and upliftment. Like we have if we have a bank account and there's a lot of wealth in there, but we need some kind of access card for the ATM or so then Prabhupada also gives the example of a potent husband and wife. You know, nowadays, I guess, due to people's sinful reactions and bad karma, then there's a lot of need for fertility clinics and stuff like this. People can't have children due to their bad karma. But formally, if the Prabhupada is saying, if the husband and wife were, you know, chaste, but then they decided to have a child, then one time having sexual intercourse was sufficient to produce a child. So that's potency, just, you know, one time and then bang, there's a child, not, you know, trying again and again and 50 times and paying so much money to go to the, you know, what is it, fertility clinics and everything like that. So, and then this verse is also describing a verse in First Canto of Bhagavatam, at the very start, that if the discussion between the student and the disciple, if they're both potent, then the Lord becomes captured in the heart. Sajo Riddhi Avarujyate. So, of course, the Lord is in everyone's heart, but if he's... if he's discussed amongst devotees who are, as Prabhupada is saying, potent, then he becomes captured by their love. And also in that verse is the word shushush rubis, that meaning translated as by culture. So Prabhupada says that those who are serious about understanding the Supreme Absolute Truth, they, you know, they have this culture of hearing about the Lord, actually. So hearing about the Lord, we know this is the first and most important item of devotional service. And Srila Prabhupada, when he gave us a process of self-realization that was based on hearing and chanting, like, together, and basically gave the, instituted in the temples, the morning program, which is just hearing and chanting about the glories of the spiritual master, hearing the holy name in japa time, hearing the glories of the Lord and his devotees in Srimad Bhagavatam class. So this kind of program is one feature of Srila Prabhupada's blessings that he gave to all of us. Because this hearing process is the way for self-realization. So to give us a whole program just centered around that is a great boon for us. And so for temple devotees, Prabhupada expected that they would, you know, they've made some commitment to serving the temple, so they should come to the temple morning program every day, and if they're not able to rise early, then we need to see whether that's just out of avoiding the austerity of rising early, in other words laziness, or if we actually have a genuine reason for not rising early, health, or so we have to see what our schedule is and try and centre it around increasing our hearing. And of course, if we're not able to attend the temple's morning program every day, then this hearing process is, this is why bhakti yoga is so you know, applicable to everyone, so flexible and adaptable that anyone can apply it in their lives, not like, you know, Ashtanga Yoga, which we read about in chapter 6 of Bhagavad Gita, that, you know, that's only very select few people, qualified people, can apply that kind of process. Practically no one in this age is doing it right. And in this age, they just get distracted by, you know, mystic power and so on. So, and Jnana Yoga, no one's interested in the Vedas anyway. So Bhakti Yoga is always, in this, particularly for this age, is most applicable because it's based on this hearing, which anyone can build into their lives. So for people that aren't living at the temple, they also must, in consultation with senior devotees and their own, if they have a spiritual master, or just by their own intelligence that Krishna supplies, then figure out how they can have a program of hearing that they engage in every day. For example, hearing lectures is very convenient way, very powerful way. And for example, I can't come to the morning program on the days that I go to the veggie market, so I take my iPod and in the van, then I listen to lectures. And we also hear from Keshava that when he was in the ashram, even before the morning program started, when he was taking bath, then he'd be hearing, and throughout the day doing so much hearing. And also I've heard Gangesha Puri saying how when he does a lot of driving, he lives on one side of Melbourne and his parents live on another side of Melbourne, and he goes to visit them, and then the temple's in Melbourne, so he's always driving around. So at that time, why just waste that time? Just put on a lecture and do some hearing. So this is the culture. That's the first canto of Shushrushadis. The culture of Bhakti Yoga is a culture of hearing the glories of the Lord. And Parikshit Maharaj attained salvation just by this single process of hearing. The society we're living in today is just always trying to entice us with the glories of sense gratification. I remember one time hearing Dave Meadowswami say that, the reason people get in such trouble, or the reason for all our problems is just because of hearing. Like somewhere along the way, we heard the glories of sense gratification and fruitive activity, and so we took up that path. And then it only leads to misery and dissatisfaction. So just from that initial hearing, then causes us so much problems and trouble. We hear about how great it is to watch movies and hear mundane music or eat out at different restaurants. And Prabhupada would say that the Americans at that time, they have full facility for sense enjoyment, and I guess still they do, but they're starting to see that it's limited, or it's not unlimited. If the economy crashes, then all their fun and games will end. So even if they have all this full facility for sense enjoyment, then there's still created a group of people who are dissatisfied, which, the hippies. And they're looking for an alternative lifestyle. But without knowledge of spiritual life, bhakti yoga, then for them, the hippies, their so-called alternative lifestyle was still just based on sense gratification. So the bhakti lifestyle is based on satisfying Krishna's senses, and so it's very important that we stay in the association of devotees so that we don't get contaminated by hearing about material sense gratification. And so the more we hear, then the more we want to serve Krishna for his pleasure and serve the devotees. It's quite for devotees, if we look back to where we started and how we've come along, it's quite mysterious to us how now we're engaged in some services, and it just started, we were just cleaning the prasadam hall once a week, and then by staying with the devotees, our bhakti just increases in a very wonderful way by the Lord's grace. So once we have this routine program for hearing, either in the morning program or we've customized something according to our situation, tailor-made, then comes the application of that. So, you know, we have the morning program, but if you don't come, then that's not good application. So this application of the hearing process is not such an easy thing, we find. To hear is, it's easy, but it's hard. So, because Maya will put in so much obstacles in our path to the, that is the path of hearing. And on that path of hearing, Maya just puts obstacle after obstacle, trying to divert us. This is her job. She's a very good servant. She doesn't want, you know, unqualified people to come to Krishna. So, you know, we know about the threefold material miseries which constantly bombard us. Our wonderful body, which is so dear to us. For so long, we've thought of it as our vehicle for sense enjoyment. This has been our mentality for so many lifetimes and in this life as well. So, but then it's always attacked by hundreds of different diseases that cause suffering. You can burn yourself, cut yourself, internally get infections and injuries. I can just think about the last couple of days, and to give some examples, on Friday I like came close to knocking myself out. I just like stepped up into the van and just crashed my head against the back door, and it's just like, oh, completely like got a big lump and everything, very painful still. So yesterday I burnt my hand in cooking, spilt some sabji on it. So of course for devotees it's different, it's all just purification for devotees. This also happens to non-devotees. So now I have a headache, had it since all day. being healthy won't save us from these things. It won't make us happy. Only if it can lead us to engaging in devotional service, then it can make us happy. But not in and of itself, being healthy. They say healthy, happy and wise. But healthiness doesn't equal happiness. And then we have the mind, we have many festival days throughout the year, Utsava. And I've had experiences in the past where it's like, it's a festival day and some appearance day, there's going to be kirtan in the evening and feast, and so many more devotees will come. And when there's so many more devotees, we always experience that there's just such an increased mood and vibe. Like yesterday, on a Sunday, so many people came for Dhammadarashak, and it was just the whole morning program. I could see everyone was in complete ecstasy, just like mingling with the devotees and away from their workplace and all those material concerns. But even when it's a festival, I've had, experienced that the mind just says, oh, I don't feel like it, it's not special, I just want to, I'll just have some feast and then go to bed. We don't want to, that's just the mind. It's like we can't get into it for some reason. So the mind itself creates so many obstacles, and we lose enthusiasm. These are all mental conditions. So and then the miseries from other people. Kali Yuga just means it's all about exploitation. So no one's really has our self, no one knows who the self, what the self is, so no one has our self-interest at heart. So the ordinary worker, they work long hours, or in places like Eastern Europe and other places around the world, there's exploitation in the form of the sex trade. Young girls are taken from their homes and made to, you know, work in these vulnerable activities. And then we have the miseries arising from nature, the wonderful weather that we have here in Melbourne. I mean, I don't know, this spring, I don't think it's always this windy, but it's been particularly windy this year. And this kind of, all this air blowing around just really disturbs the mind, like anything. So we're not peaceful. And then we can just project in a couple of months' time that it will be summer and we won't be able to sleep at night. The body just burns up, and what can we do? You know, we don't have so much supply of sandalwood paste that we can we just have water. So, you know, unlimited miseries and obstacles. But even still, despite all this, the covering of Maya is such that in our illusion, then we kind of look around the world, and for the ordinary materialists, they look around the world, and even for us, still sometimes, we're thinking we're the controller and the enjoyer. We think, I'm the master, and all these this material world's under my command. No, but if we have some sanity, then we see that the world, although this earth planet is very, according to the Vedas, very insignificant, there's unlimited planets in the universe, but if we just see on our planet and we look at the sky, then that itself is practically unlimited. And we ourselves, we're just very insignificant. You know, if we compare ourselves, here I am in Melbourne, there's a vast sky, or the earth, or the oceans. 70% of the earth is covered by ocean, and it's just, I don't go there very much, right? It's vast. we're just very tiny, insignificant spirit souls. And we're just caught up in it all. We're caught up in the midst of these material elements, and they're bombarding us with material miseries. So that's, we can see that if we're, a devotee can see that if we're sane. But the materialists who are just mad after sense enjoyment see that everything is just for pleasure, my pleasure and our enjoyment. Even in the cities, people don't notice the material world or the natural world because they're just blocked out by skyscrapers and suburbs and roads. So they don't really think, it's not in their consciousness, the natural world. But if we go to the farm or somewhere else in the country, for an ordinary person being in the country, can, inspire some appreciation of God's power. We saw in the first chapter of this canto 2, that the universal form is meant to inspire some, reverence to the Lord, the power of the Lord. So to overcome all these obstacles that we face on the path of hearing, we must develop many qualities to develop. One of them is submissiveness, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Tadviti Pranipatena. And Prabhupada is saying that we need to find a personality where we can surrender. And he says it's natural that if there's someone very powerful, then automatically we want to surrender. Just like ordinary materialists, they basically surrender to sports stars and movie stars. They consider them very great, wonderful personalities. So they practically, start worshipping them. So this is a natural tendency that if someone's perceived as very great, that we want to surrender to them. I think I know for myself, when I started coming to the temple in summer, and my Gurudev was giving a class, a Sunday feast class, and you know, he's just, the way he is, very heavy on material society, particularly for a, I guess, a Sunday feast class where people are not practicing devotional service, so they're very still caught up in material life very much. So the guru's job is to cut those attachments. And so, yeah, he was very heavy on material society. And I just thought, this is great. Like, you know, no one, you know, everything that's wrong about the world, no one will kind of say anything. But here's someone that is just saying it as it is, of course, following in the mood of Prabhupada. So that's quite inspiring to find someone like that. So we have to be very submissive to apply this process of hearing and understand that, you know, it's not possible to practice bhakti yoga just on our own strength. You know, all these distresses that I've described, they just come about. It's completely beyond our control. So, you know, when the weather changes, then, you know, we can't do anything about that. So we have to understand our position, very minute position, as not the controllers, and also have faith that this hearing process actually works. For example, we can see so many devotees around us making advancement and becoming happier, more satisfied and peaceful, and enjoying their service to Krishna. So this gives us faith that whatever they're doing must be working, and that's the process of hearing. So we have some faith that, yes, somehow or other this hearing process does work. So I want to apply it in my life more and more. And to do that, yeah, we have to humbly pray to Krishna for his mercy. Just to keep every day chanting and keep out of mind. it requires a very submissive attitude. I mean, it doesn't mean we don't use our intelligence or just become stupid. Prabhupada's describing how when we're hearing from the spiritual master, we also have to ask questions and in a submissive way. Not that we're just hearing like I could be speaking to a stone, but it's not, you know, no effect will be there. So Prabhupada says, don't be like that, don't be like a dumb stone. Have to, if you don't understand something, then immediately make a point to ask, inquire. And then Prabhupada describes what is the result of applying this hearing process as he, over many, you know, steadily applying this process of hearing over weeks and months and years, then Bhagavatam says the Lord becomes captured in our heart. We can have this experience ourselves, maybe, particularly when, you know, when our spiritual master is here, then of course we want to hear from them, hear class. And so, you know, if it's any other day, we might not be so enthusiastic to come to class, or it's just more part of the process. But if our spiritual master is here, then we're like, yeah, we have this eagerness to hear from our guru. And I mean, what I found is when that eagerness is there with our guru or anyone else, then whatever they're saying, even if it's the same old thing, that we're not the body, or I mean, you know, there's many topics that are fundamental to bhakti yoga that get repeated. But even if they're saying these things, then they just act on the heart and inspire us in a way that it maybe not, you know, isn't there at times when we're not so eager to hear. So having eagerness to hear kind of activates the Lord in our heart to give us transcendental knowledge. And having that eagerness is something for the Lord to reciprocate with. And, but if we're not so eager to hear, then we're not giving Krishna something to reciprocate with. So the revealing of transcendental knowledge is not there to the same extent, even though we're hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So if we can always more and more have that eagerness to hear, then we'll could be get a lot of benefit. And we bring reinforce and build that connection to the Lord in our heart. So that's why Prabhupada is saying, even though he's already there by this hearing process and having eagerness to hear, then he becomes captured. Of course, we're celebrating month of Damodar, the pastime where Mother Yashoda captures the Lord. And that was also because of her intense eagerness, spiritual eagerness, on such a level that we can't understand. We just take it as quite ordinary, like a mom and her child. But it's not like that. It's very elevated spiritual feelings. So the rope was always 2 inches too short. But out of her great desire to capture the Lord, then he allowed that, and she could bind Krishna to the grinding stone. So if our hearing process is very good application, and we're applying hearing with in a good mood, then it sinks in and it transforms us. So this is what is required. If we see that someone has been coming, hearing for many years or something, but they still have similar bad qualities that they had when they were first coming, then we can understand that the quality of the hearing has not been up to standard. Because if the quality of the hearing is there, then definitely there'll be transformation in the heart, transformation in our personality, in our characteristics, in our interactions with devotees, who have nicer dealings. Because all this will be inspired by Krishna in our heart. We want to have nicer dealings and want to serve more for Krishna's pleasure rather than our own pleasure. So as Prabhupada is describing in this purport, that the transcendental knowledge that's passed down is penetrating and useful to all submissive students. So pride is a great obstacle to hearing. Practically, it doesn't enter the heart. But submissiveness allows it to penetrate to the heart. Chaito dharpana margina, cleanse the heart. So I'll just stop there and see if there's any comments or questions on what we spoke about. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. hear so much, but you get to practice, and through practice, you can retain transcendental knowledge, cultivate realization. But when the knowledge is overwhelming, like the Bhagavata, the chapters are so exhausting, the amount of knowledge is overwhelming. So you don't always get the chance to practice all these principles, all these wonderful ideas about Krishna consciousness. I've taught them personally. The personal program is just chant 16 rounds and follow the regs and try to read. But the question is, how do we retain transcendental knowledge? Because if we won't practice, we will forget.
Yeah.
So, not getting the opportunity to.
I mean, that retaining, it's not that we memorize the whole Bhagavatam, but it's the, you know, whatever we're hearing, if we put it into practice and then it becomes realized, then that means we've retained it. You know, I'm still trying to get through Prabhupada's books, slowly. But, whatever we hear, if we can apply it, then that's how it becomes retained. And all good, you know, yeah, all the principles and qualities become manifest in us just by that submissive hearing. Because, you know, Krishna can do anything. You know, even if, yeah. Like very advanced learning is not the qualification for advancing in devotional service. It's a means by seriously studying the Srimad Bhagavatam, then we're showing Krishna that we want to understand this science of God, and so then he can reciprocate with that. But if we're studying the mood of study has to be to understand Krishna so that we can please him more, and not just on a material level of studying the shlokas just to become knowledgeable. The learning, of course, we use that to preach to people. We know shlokas, and it makes our preaching more effective. Krishna will help us understand everything. Hope that helps. Any other comments or questions? Grandfather Srimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki Jai Govardhan ki.